These lectures are part of the Great Courses series. They are produced by The Teaching Company. These lectures are titled Europe and the Wars of Religion, 1500 to 1700, Part 2. Lecture 13, The Politics of the Holy Roman Empire.
Having surveyed the technical, institutional, and fiscal underpinnings of warfare in early modern Europe, we now turn to the most wide-ranging and indeed by far the most destructive of all of the wars of religion, that is to say the 30 Years' War, which somewhat conveniently did last for 30 years, between 1618 and 1648. The 30 Years' War was hideously destructive. It was also hideously complicated. It raged all over the Holy Roman Empire, including not only most of what is now Germany, but also what is now the Czech Republic and parts of Austria. The conflict has many familiar elements, elements we've seen before in the French Wars of Religion and in the Revolt of the Netherlands, including tensions on the basis of religion, tensions on the basis of aristocratic faction, and tension on the basis of particularism, of at least the particularism of regions. We're also going to see a lot of familiar elements, including the problems of paying for armies and the problems of controlling armies. But as I mentioned previously, the scale of the fighting and the destruction far exceeded anything seen in the 16th century. The fighting was much more continuous, ranged over a much broader area, and was much more heavily influenced, indeed ultimately came to be dominated, by the interests and the intervention of foreign powers. The subject of the lecture for today, therefore, is the question of why was it that it was Germany, of all places, that became the locus for the resolution or the fighting out of so many other extra-German conflicts, including the resumption of the Revolt of the Netherlands between 1621 and 1648, and what you might want to call the second round of the Habsburg-Valois struggle, that is to say the struggle between the Crown of Spain and the Crown of France, which raged between 1635 and actually outlasted the Thirty Years' War, continuing until 1659. The best answer to that question, why Germany, is that the Holy Roman Empire had two characteristics which, at the very best, worsened the tensions existing inside every European state, and at the very worst, it seems to me, made an armed conflict in that territory extremely likely in the last 40 years before 1618. Briefly, these two factors were the ambiguities in the position of the emperor and the collapse of imperial institutions of political mediation. And I'd like to review them in succession here. The emperor, the Holy Roman Emperor, was unusual in that he was an elected and not a hereditary monarch. He was chosen by a majority vote of seven senior princes, known as the electors. And what is crucial to understand about the emperor is that in his capacity as emperor, he had very little power. He could only obtain money with the voted consent of the imperial diet, or Reichstag, which is akin to the French Estates General, the English Parliament, or the Netherlandish States General. Moreover, all decisions in the diet depended ultimately upon consensus, and therefore they depended on compromise. Now, I should say, just as a footnote, that the Holy Roman Empire has had a very bad press in the past. Voltaire joked that it was neither holy nor Roman nor an empire. There was a tendency in the 19th century to see the Holy Roman Empire as a kind of second best. It wasn't nearly as good as a unified nation state. Now, especially given the somewhat unpleasant history of Germany during the early 20th century, people have seen what a unified nation state can actually do. The Holy Roman Empire is undergoing a kind of rehabilitation in historiography, and it's now seen as a kind of good federalism. And all joking aside, I think it is important to stress that this was a polity in which it's the member units, the princely states, the city-states, and so on and so forth, had an awful lot more to say than they might have had in a more unified nation-state, and they certainly liked it that way. Indeed, the whole problem of ensuring that the Holy Roman Empire did not become an absolutism was a problem which would bedevil Germany during the 30 Years' War. Now, although the emperor was not very powerful in his capacity as emperor, he did have very strong moral authority. His commands could be sidestepped, but it was really not easy to openly defy a command from the emperor. And moreover, and I think it's worth stressing this point, the emperor certainly had the legal right. Everyone conceded that the emperor had the legal right to punish any refractory member states of the empire.